Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right is Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
And sitting to my left, as usual, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Phil.
How are you? Well, I haven't heard that in a long time. So, yesterday, we had a good time.
Phil great had time. A really good time.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, the Archer Avenue St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Windy.
Yeah, it was windy out there, but the neighborhood came out.
Not good
came
for the hair.
Big time.
You know how much they
That's
raised?
That's why I don't have any hair.
Do you know how much they raised?
I don't.
But
we'll find out in the next couple days.
That number will come out, right?
Yeah, last year I think they raised, it was like $130,000 for Get Behind the Vest.
And then this year was
they've added a firefighter charity as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome.
And more parades today. I'll be at the Northwest Side Irish Parade.
That's a good one.
It's
that's
a great
like
one.
The drunkest neighborhood parade since the old school South Side Parade.
Yes, it is.
Like every garage is full that's of your, wasted
is
people.
Is that your definition of good? The drunkest one?
What do you like about parades?
Yeah, what's your
Ken?
Barometer? Yeah, of course.
I like to judge the marching bands. That one's not good.
I like to see how much candy they throw out.
There's a ton of billing trades people on the Northwest Side.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
All over
absolutely.
Norwood Park, Edison Park. And then also the South Side parades today, too.
A lot of city guys, too.
Yep.
Right,
we'll have my boss Kevin will be down there.
And, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, a lot of parades going on.
It's parade season.
So, with that, let's switch to some news. Big news, continuous, just setback after setback for the termination, and I would say now the illegal termination.
Yeah.
Of these federal employees. Right, the judge just recently said it was a sham. He literally used the word sham.
Yeah, it was Judge William Alsup from the Northern District in California said it's a sham. So I think these 30,000 probationary workers have to be reinstated.
Good.
And
I wonder if they get back pay.
Is there no federal Warren Act? Like, don't you have to give people notice?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Got it.
So,
I mean, the people on the right are screaming that a judge shouldn't be able to overturn policy. But you know, anybody who got better than an F on the Constitution test, I think, would say, you know, there's a separation of powers. And so if a policy is enacted or a bunch of people are fired and it's not lawful, a judge's job, the purpose of having judges, is to stop that from
the
going
third
forward.
Third branch of government.
Correct. Equal branch of
Equal.
Government. I mean, since Congress has sort of given its power over, the judiciary is that much more
yeah,
important.
Yeah, I guess we're now down to two branches, right?
We are down to two branches.
Yeah. Yeah, two and a half. Chuck Schumer's just holding on, you know, barely. I mean, not really. But yeah, this is enormous news because, again, it's like Jurassic Park. You remember the raptor? The guy's like, oh, he's testing the fences.
Yeah.
That's what all this stuff is. We're going to take these enormous moves and fire all these people for no reason. Let's see if we can get away with it.
Right.
And in this case, you know, there are judges who are saying on a bunch of things, I mean, more and more things, no, you can't get away with it. And the right is, you know, they're upset.
There's a bunch of attorney generals that got together,
yeah.
And they're suing the Trump administration. I forget what that one was for. There's attorneys now that are saying that he doesn't have the unilateral right to institute these tariffs.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that. There's I guess he went after a law firm called Perkins Coie.
Yeah.
Perkins Coie. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Perkins
yeah.
Coie?
Yeah.
And they're kind of like they're known to be kind of like a I don't know if you call it liberal or whatever, but just kind of funky law firm. And they said, what did he do? He's like, you're no longer allowed
any kind of government access for any of their attorneys.
Yeah, yeah. They're huge. Yeah. I think they were involved in some of the voter fraud cases.
Yeah.
Presenting,
I think that's right.
Yeah. Dominion and
I think the result of that is if you're a lawyer that works in the government, you're scared out of your mind right now. But now it's if you're a lawyer working in the private sector or if you're a partner of a law firm in the private sector, you're telling your lawyers, don't mess with Trump. Don't mess with the administration because we'll be, you know, sanctioned or whatever. And it's a
and you shouldn't have to say that.
No,
of course not. I mean,
that's extremely dangerous precedent.
And it's also a dereliction of your duty as an attorney. You're supposed to zealously represent your client. And that's what they did. And so all of a sudden now they're going to be punished and retaliated against. And, you know, they're fighting back.
Yeah. I mean, this news about the reinstatement of workers is great. And I think everybody should be happy about this because these folks got fired for being in their job for less than a year. Many of them transferred from other agencies into
right. so promotions.
They're career the career employees, qualified people. So just ask yourself, if you got fired for no reason, if you got fired for being in your current role for less than a year, wouldn't you want somebody to stick up for you?
Exactly.
And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, some of these people, right. Like they,
of course
just
the
because they're probationary doesn't mean they're brand new to the job. It could have been they got transferred over, they got promoted. Like, you know, that's
but
the
even
problem.
If they are probationary and truly probationary, look, I went to school for this. I studied, you know, civil blank. I went to blank and whatever it was. This is my career path. I probably could have made more money in the private sector, but I chose to work in civil service for the good of the people.
Yes.
And there really doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason as to why he's firing people. And I'll tell you, if you're watching the news, watch these town halls, people are fuming.
Yeah.
And the one thing that they're really fuming about, there's two big ones, right? One is Social Security. Don't touch our Social Security. Yeah. And the other is the VA.
Yeah.
You're going to fire 80,000 veterans? Like, what is wrong with you? And people are livid. Like, wait, we did not sign up for this.
No.
Right?
He's got a 22, 23-year-old kid who said that everything that's being done in the VA can be digitized and replaced by technology. And these folks who go to veterans hospitals for their entire lives after getting out of the service deal with the same nurses, the same doctors, see these people getting let go. And it's like, this is, you know, this is the wrong way. This is not the way that you're supposed to treat veterans.
And by the way, it had nothing. I mean, I don't know that I heard Trump say a single thing about firing hundreds of thousands of federal employees during the campaign.
It's like, why are you running to stay out of federal prison?
But honestly, I mean, to save the country. To save the country.
That worked.
We're all going to get so. It did work. Yeah. I mean, he got what he. Yeah. But, you know, the markets are tanking. Like, these policies that weren't part of the platform are not doing well.
Are they going to follow these judicial orders, though? That's my question.
That is the
because he can just say no, and then what? He has civil immunity. He has criminal immunity. Like, then what? And then anyone who does get in trouble, he'll just pardon him. So
that's called a constitutional crisis. And I think that what you do in that situation is you storm the Capitol. Because even if you go to jail, you just get out sometime soon, right? I think you know, that's how that works.
True. But are you watching that? And Phil, are you and listeners, are you watching there are these organic protests popping up all over the country right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Some are in front of Tesla dealerships, which just crack me up, right? Some are just organically happening in cities. I saw one in New York. There must have been 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
They're just angry. People are angry. And all of a sudden, like, people are starting to finally revolt.
About jailing people with green cards,
Let's get after Canada. Yeah. What? Their whole, like, the knock on Canada is that they're too nice.
Yeah. Do you find yourself rooting for Canada? I do.
I don't want to say into a microphone, but, I mean, they didn't do anything wrong.
My grandpa's a Canadian, so I got family lineage there.
I'm sorry to hear that. There was one beer, like, I think it was Molson, that came out.
Not
a six-pack, but a crate of 1,681 beers to get you through the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's called the presidential pack. It's a pallet of beer with one beer for every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, my problem is that would last me
a weekend.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
It'd be a couple of hospital visits.
All right, listen, we got to take a quick break, and then we got a big show today. We're gonna talk to one of our favorite labor leaders in the city of Chicago, Karen Kent from Unite Here. There's a strike going on at Northwestern University, which is a major news item here in Chicago. And then later, we're going to be talking to an AFGE president of
Local
one of the locals,
777,
and he's going to be talking about the fact that his workers, TSA, had their contract ripped up.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of stuff going on, obviously. But we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil. And as we stated earlier, we're super stoked today to have the head of wonderful, massive union here in Chicago, Unite Here, the great Karen Kent. Karen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on such short notice. Tell us what's going on at Northwestern University, right? Northwestern, kind of an average school here in the Midwest, it's an okay school, right?
Yeah, it's a mid-tier law school,
It's no Queens College.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That was your fallback for law school, right?
That was my plan C, all right? But I heard it's like one of the better schools in Evanston.
It is.
So you represent what? Who do you represent there?
Dining hall workers, food service workers.
Okay.
So cooks, cashiers, dishwashers, servers, people that feed the staff, feed the faculty, and feed the students.
Yeah, most importantly, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. So what happened? Do they work directly for Northwestern, or do they work for a subcontractor?
No, they actually work for Compass Group.
Okay.
Compass is a large worldwide corporation, make about $42 billion. A year, so not small change. But a lot of the other names that you might know them under are Chartwell's, Canteen.
Levy, I think you said.
Yeah, Levy Restaurants was also part of that. Bon Appetit, a number of different groups.
And they're based, and by the way, they're not even based in America.
That's
right. It's a foreign company based in the
Jolly
UK.
Old England. Across the pond, isn't it?
That's why they serve shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
Or is that Irish?
Shepherd's pie? I don't know. It's a good question.
Irish.
That's Irish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fish and chips. How about that?
Yes.
Boy!
Yeah. That's, right.
Yeah. That's Australian.
And Guinness. So, all right. No, that's also Irish. God, I can't get anything right today.
That's okay.
So, anyway, Karen, they work for Compass Group, and you guys have been negotiating with Compass Group since last year?
Last year, yeah. The contract expired in August of last year. We've been in negotiations, had a number of sessions, and the workers voted to authorize a strike. The negotiating committee called strike if they thought it was appropriate. They did, and they did so, and so here we are.
So how many people are out on strike?
Most of the folks that we represent about 500 people out there. I'm not doing the daily counts, but very lively pickets. Most of the people are picketing different shifts. We're
there
from 5 to 8:30.
So, and now who's feeding the students?
Good question.
Okay, seriously. So
the dining halls are closed.
A lot of ramen.
Right. I mean, there's definitely been, by what we've heard, a lot of interruptions, maybe other. And so certainly if people have stopped by the picket line, they've been fed on the picket line.
Well, I saw pictures the striking employees are out there making sandwiches. And I mean, the students come first. They care about what they do.
It's funny. They're out on strike, yet they're spending their own money making sandwiches for the kids.
Yeah, they feed kids, they feed strikers, they feed people who come to the picket lines.
And the students support them, right? I've seen some of the surveys gone out, and there are like 1,000 signatures on petitions. Like, that's great.
Yeah, over really tremendous support from the students who have come and picketed. But I think, Ed, you mentioned this, like there's such a deep connection with the workers and the students. You go to school, you're there for 4 years. It's an important time in people's lives, and those are like family, the people who feed you, the
absolutely.
People who care for you.
Absolutely.
And it's midterm season. It's no time to be eating saltines in your dorm room.
You need to be well fed.
You're absolutely right,
right?
Ken.
And especially before you go on spring break.
I'm telling you, because you're going to be, never mind.
So, but, you make a good point, right? And that is, especially if you live on campus, these people are part of your everyday life.
Absolutely.
And they're good people. I think you told me, Karen, that, the average one of your members has worked at Northwestern for how many years?
Roughly 9-10 years.
Wow.
Right? So it's not like this, transient, turnover, fast food job. It's an actual career.
It absolutely is. And there's people who have been there 20 years. In fact, I heard stories about people who knew generations, the son, the son of the son who went to school and they came back and had a big reunion, or people who have,
that's nice.
Had families.
So, and what's the makeup of the workforce in terms of, minority women, et cetera? Do you know?
About 30% Latino. There's probably about 30% immigrants from all parts of the world, 6% Asian, other.
And so, what's the sticking points for the strike? Like, why have you guys decided to pull the pin?
Every strike is different, and every group of workers is different. And so it's interesting, as workers develop, this unit has probably started organizing in about 2009, and we've sort of built it up over time. And so their primary concerns, obviously, wages, to be able to have a sustainable wage for their families. That's a critical one. But really, tremendous importance to having a sustainable pension that people can retire on. People have to work a long time. Not because everybody wants to work until they're 70 or something.
Yeah.
They want to be able to retire, and their retirement, frankly, you know, the current contributions come out to about $700 roughly dollars a month. And, you know, we're shooting for a contribution that would get us to about $2,400 a month.
$700 a month. That's it.
Yeah.
That's not getting you anywhere.
Right.
Then that means you're working until you're 65, so you get Medicare, Social Security, et cetera.
If you can get there.
And that, you know, you shouldn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this in the past. You know, you're a 20-year-old starting work. I don't want to work 45 years. You know, right? Basically, your entire life you work and then you die.
Or if you do work for 45 years, you should be able to retire with some degree of comfort, because 45 years of a career is a long time to work. And if you do that, when you retire, you shouldn't have to worry about getting a part-time job you know, looking for government aid or anything like that just to make ends meet.
Yeah, it's just at different times in the progression of a contractor or the workforce, people think about different things.
What does the city of Evanston say?
Just recently, in fact, some of folks from our union brought this forward and suggested it, and the folks from city council passed it, the Mayor Biss, a number of folks, council persons, Suffredin, Kelly, and Reed actually really backed it. But this is a worker retention ordinance. We've seen it in a lot of parts of the country, and it allows for people to retain their jobs if there's a change in operators, And it covers a certain group of workers, because not everything is written in the contract. That's oftentimes a big sticking point, and it's an important one. It sort of sets a base level. So within 90 days, they have to keep everybody on for 90 days with the same wages, benefits, and assuming everything's cool, then like they do their
work. Is Compass new?
Well, they took over some of the operations in 2018.
Got it.
So when it changed over, that caused a lot of, anxiety and stress and, upheaval among the workforce.
And then what about Northwestern itself? Like, what about the trustees of Northwestern and you know, the people that run the school? Like, are they weighing in?
Not that I've...
They should, though.
Not yet.
They?
Yeah, I think they should. I think that,
at the end of the day, they're...
Am I surprised that they haven't...
They've had a few black eyes recently. This might be something they might want to get ahead of.
So if people wanted to support this, Karen, what can they do?
Well, certainly if they're an alum or they have some connection to the university, so they should reach out to their organization, right?
Yeah.
And tell them they want to see this settled. The other thing is, I think that we're having a community support rally today, actually. Today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What time?
1:30 to 3:30.
And where's it going
to
be?
Right at the arch at Northwestern.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Around the arch. So yeah, people come.
So come on and come up there.
Yeah,
and then if you're not a Northwestern alum or whatever, just pick up the phone and call. You know, support these workers because they deserve it. And these are some of the neediest amongst us. You can't live on $700 a month in retirement, period, the end. So kudos to you guys for taking this hardline stance. And I think...
well, it's members, but yes.
Well, it's your member. It's your local, right? Your local is very powerful, and your local, you know, does a really good job. And we've seen the successes that you guys have had because you guys stick together, right? When you guys go on strike, you do it. Like, this is not an unfair labor practice strike. You're just striking.
Right. Well, we think it's important to listen to the members and see where
God
people want to go.
God bless you. Good for you.
Support
this strike. Very important here in the city of Chicago / Evanston. Karen, thank you so much for coming in. And we will be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, and was obviously massive news about the Trump administration ripping up the TSA contract.
So mid-contract.
Today, massive, right?
Yeah.
Mid-contract.
Right.
And affecting thousands and thousands and thousands of workers. So we're happy to have today with us on the phone Darrell English. He's the president of AFGE, which is American Federation of Government Employees Local 777, and he is also an actual TSA officer and currently the president of his local. Welcome, Darrell. Thank you for taking the time to come on the air.
Thank you, guys.
So tell us, you have been TSA since how long?
I first started with TSA in 2005.
And you continue to work there, correct?
Correct. All right. Yep. Still remain there.
So different than, I guess, what we're used to in the building trades. You actually still work there. You're also president of the local, right?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
So you have two jobs. Lucky you. So you got to be pulling your hair out. Tell us what happened and how you got notification of it, and then we'll ask some questions about it in terms of the administration ripping up your contract.
Well, currently, with our previous contract, which was signed in May of last year, 2024, that contract was valid for 7 years. So last Friday, I was checking my emails, and I got a phone call from someone saying that some officers had some information that they posted on one of the iShares at one of the airports, and they wanted to know if it was true. And I told them, you know, I don't know what they're talking about. So after a couple of minutes, I started getting all these phone calls.
I'm sure.
And saying the same thing. So I then checked my email, and it was correct. It was a notice that went out effective immediately, it said, from headquarters, Washington, from the new administrator, that the contract they have with TSA that we just signed last year is non and void, and that all union activities are ceased, and that starting effective immediately, that any officer that was on official time or had official duties must stop using that status.
So official time meaning taking time off of work for union activities, right? Still paid for by the TSA, that had to stop, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then
correct.
What about everything else in the contract? Your hours, your wages, your terms and conditions of employment, all that stuff has been rendered unilaterally null and void?
Well, your salary still stayed the same because TSA still pays your salary.
Okay.
Pay your salary then. But the contract, the collective bargaining agreement, how officers can grieve,
yep.
All the things that were in there were up and grabbed. And so we don't know exactly how things are going to be worked out moving forward because it covered a lot of things.
And I guess if they wanted to just take things back, they can just do that now. I mean, under their logic, since it's not protected by an agreement.
Right.
Correct. And they have been doing that in bits and pieces. They've been rolling out little things that, you know, corrections that they want to make. Basically, everything that was in our CBA that dealt with the union, they took out the union's name of it and tried to implement their own process in it. But, you know, it's still not the same.
And so you guys have lawyers, obviously, right?
Correct.
All right. Are you guys going into court? Have you gone into court yet? Like, what's the story with that?
Well, I was just in a meeting yesterday, and a notice was sent to me saying that the notice was filed for the court hearing. It was filed yesterday.
Excellent.
And they said it would take about 3 weeks around that time period for us to get into court.
Where is it going? Do you know what court? Like where?
That was in, I'm trying to remember if it was in the D.C. area.
Gotcha. Okay. So it goes right to federal court, and they're going to try and say basically that you can't. And by the way, for those listening out there, this is the first time in United States history, that the government has walked in and ripped up
a contract.
First time ever.
Wow.
And, you know, they've said, like, well, we think it was inefficient, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You signed a contract.
Yeah, yeah. It's enforceable by law. I mean, it's so important for listeners to understand. I mean, it's like if you have a cell phone, if you have a car loan, if you have a union contract, contracts are enforceable by law.
Yes.
You can't just say, we don't like it, so we're throwing it away.
And this was laid out in Project 2025, correct? This was the plan.
Yeah. And so, right. Darrell, let me ask you this. There's an argument to be made that I've read that the TSA was formed sort of outside of the auspices of the Department of Homeland Security. It was its own entity. And whether or not they actually had – because I don't know if you guys remember this. When the TSA was – after 9/11, right? Uh-huh. When the TSA first came about, there was a massive push not to let them unionize. Right, by the Republicans. And eventually that went away and they got the right to unionize. What I read, Darrell, was that they said that that's on shaky ground and it was never quite codified. There were some executive orders on it, et cetera. But that's their rationale for being able to rip that up. Do you know anything about that?
Well, all that I can speak on is that there was two things. So TSA was, like you said, was formed and under the guidelines of ATSA. At the Aviation Administration, and it has guidelines on there.
Got it.
But with that previous administrator that was in with Biden,
mm-hmm.
that administrator brought brought us and gave us a collective bargain, gave us a full collective bargain agreement. So not only the administrator signed it, but also Homeland Security.
Ah, okay.
So when she came in, the new administrator, he was saying that the previous administrator, based off our determination, she's not going to abide by the previous determination by the administrator.
Ah, so she's just going to...
Which is fine, but there was a contract signed also.
Right, so she can ignore it. And then also, by the way, we have a signed written agreement, a contract, and I'm just going to rip up that contract.
Right, because it was signed under Biden.
Yeah, which is, by the way, makes no sense.
Right.
So you have a contract, you have a contract. So, you know, hopefully you guys just knock it out of the park and crush them on this. But what's, like, what's the morale right now? Like, I mean, how do people feel? Because I have to imagine, tell me this. Is a decent amount of the TSA workforce previous military?
Yes.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I know in the building trades, you know, I know what the voting record was. I would imagine a lot of TSA members voted for this current administration.
Well, no. As far as my understanding is, the people that are in, it's a new generation now, younger generation.
Interesting. Okay.
So they're more open-minded to a lot of the, you know, the changes that's coming with the country itself.
Got it. So what are you guys doing now? Like people are going to work. Are they demoralized? Are they angry? Are they sad? Are they looking for other jobs? Like, you know, like what's the feeling on the floor?
Definitely confusion. A lot of officers are talking about leaving because these executive orders that have been rolling out that were affecting other agencies, the layoffs and things of that kind of nature. We knew that was coming along. But I want to give you a little bit of background on this is that the reason that this executive, I believe the reason the executive decision came down was that AFGE, American Federation of Government Employees, that covers a lot of different agencies under Homeland Security. So if you've been following what's been happening, AFGE's been winning a lot of cases.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So to get back at AFGE, they came after us financially. And her determination, she sent that letter out saying that AFGE collected $15 million annually from these officers and basically forced them to be a member, and they were not satisfied with the service. But that's not true because our collective bargaining agreement that we have with the officers when they enroll is voluntary.
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't have mandatory dues checkoff in there because I think under federal law you can't. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's basically an open shop. You have the ability to make that decision as a federal employee whether you want to join the union or not. Right.
Right.
And whether you want to pay dues or not.
Yeah.
Right. So it's basically national right to work. By the way, if they were so worried about the worker bees paying dues, you know, maybe they would do something else. But that's not why they're worried. That's not why they did this to you. You're 110% right. AFGE has 800,000 public sector government employees in their ranks. Right. And they have been fighting tooth and nail and winning. As you just said, Darrell, right? Mm-hmm. We just reported on this morning. Another one said, hey, probation employees back to work. Right? They've just been cleaning their clock with these illegal firings. So what do? They go after you, right? And I think it's a mistake to try and gut the safety of airports. Because if you look in what's going on lately, there's been crashes and, you know, I think another one the other day. Yeah. Yeah. So just a, you know, amazing amount of bad things happening at airports, understaffing, you know, the what do you call the guys in the booth?
The air traffic controllers,
right?
And now we got the implementation of Real ID. I mean, that's coming in that's May. Right. I mean, that's going to turn everything
So don't you think
down.
It's going to cause chaos at these airports, Jarrell?
It's already causing a lot of issues and concerns just with the morale with the officers. Now the officers are going to do their job. Don't get me wrong.
Of course,
on that.
Yep.
But it's the extra stress they have to worry about. You know, like for instance, last week we had to send in five responses to what we did the week before.
Right.
You know, what I mean? With that whole
Elon Musk thing. Yeah.
Right.
And what are you supposed to say?
Kept airplane safe?
Yeah, what are you supposed to say about that? Protected the safety of American citizens?
Exactly. Like,
you know what I did last week? I protected the safety of American citizens all day, every day. Yeah. Right? Prevented terrorists from coming on, you know, or whatever, right? Like, why do you have to do that? That is just, it's demeaning.
Absurd.
It's absurd. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs.
And so, Ken, you made a good point. I mean, a lot of these a lot of these workers are former veterans, or they're veterans who formerly served. And this is a law enforcement job.
Yes.
I mean, Americans wouldn't tolerate this being done to police officers. So this should be no different. I mean, these are people whose job it is to make airports safe, to keep bad actors from getting on airplanes.
That's right.
And we can't do without them. You know, we need them. So the fact that they're being treated this way is it should enrage every listener that we have.
Well, listen, you know, 9/11 happened, right? Since that time, and since the advent of the TSA, there has not been a terrorist attack, taking over a plane,
right?
A bomb on a plane, et cetera, because you guys have done your job, what you were tasked to do.
Intercepted them.
Right? Intercepted them. I'm sure there's a million things that we don't hear about in the news that you guys do on a daily basis, and what you do is extremely important. For the government to come after you, come after your collective bargaining rights, is abhorrent, and shame on them for doing it.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with it. But again, I think it's not only TSA, but unions nationwide in the federal government that they're going after. Because, in our termination, what also that she mentioned in there with how much money they collected, you know, we have lawyers and things of that have to go to court in different situations.
Right.
But what they also did was they stopped dues deductions.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So when they stop that, that's the one thing that feeds our lawyers and pays for a lot of, you know, the things that we need to help the officers out.
Yeah, Durrell, they're trying to bankrupt you. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah, you can't represent your members if there's no money.
And, you know, I will go back to this, and I've said this till I'm blue in the face, and I'll say it again. Unions should not rely on employers to take out dues. And so unions are starting to pivot right now. And if you go on certain websites, you can say, I'm going to pay my dues directly right out of my checking account. Mm-hmm. Unions should not have to rely on it. Now, hours worked, building trades, there's some different things. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, right? They stopped your dues. And so now you're going to have to, what, run around and collect dues?
Call every member and, you know, run like a collection department.
Yeah, it's going to be a real hassle. And you have expenses just like any other organization. You're representing people. It's not free. And it shouldn't be free, by the way. You should get paid for your representation.
Yeah. I mean, people have this idea of union bosses. This is you. You're the union boss. You're a TSA officer.
Yeah. How much did you make from the union last year? 20 grand?
Not that at all.
Yeah.
So, okay, there you go. So, right. So, so
I think they were trying to basically, because AFGE was winning so many cases.
Yeah, making examples.
That was retaliatory.
That's their way to slow them down a little bit.
Yeah, well, guess what? It'll go to court. We'll see if it survives. I hope it doesn't. But in the meantime, you know, we appreciate you coming on.
Yes.
It's really important for our members and our listeners to hear what you're going through right now. Because, once again, it starts with you, comes out to, you know, the next union, and then all of a sudden it's the private sector unions and the building trades. Like, it's a downward slope here. So you guys are on the front lines of fighting this. We appreciate it. We appreciate everything that AFGE is doing for labor, and we're fully supportive. And if there's anything that we can do to help, you know, let us know. Is there anything that you would say to the public?
Just that to realize that, you know, TSA, officers of TSA is going to be here. We totally support unions, and we want to make sure the general public know that we're going to still ensure that the traveling public is safe. But we also would like to have our freedom to have collective bargaining rights.
Absolutely. That's well said. All right. Listen, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time this morning to do so. We really appreciate it. We've been talking to Durrell English, president of the American Federation of Government Employees Local 777 for the TSA workers here in Illinois. What did you say it was? Illinois, Wisconsin?
Yep.
Right.
So thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And we'll be right back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, that was really interesting.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. You know, people love to complain about TSA, just the fact that you have to go through the process, but you can't lose sight of the fact that what they do is really, really important.
And guess what? It's worth, you know, I don't want my plane blowing up.
Right.
So if I have to take my shoes off and walk through security for a second, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I have to get to the airport, you know, 45 minutes earlier than I used to, because I used to, you know, run in at the very last minute and, you know, hop on the plane, then such is life.
Yeah.
And now, like you said, Phil, now there's going to be real ID requirements and all this other kind of stuff.
It's going to be chaos.
Who's going to enforce it?
Right.
A bunch of angry, non-represented TSA workers. And I appreciate what Durrell said, which was like, look, our guys are going to do their job no matter what. Right. Yeah. But, you know, in real life, there's degrees of enthusiasm. I'm going to be pretty dejected that you just ripped up my contract. And maybe I worked, you know, the morning shift and now you just changed me to the night shift. You know what my recourse is? Nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, and if you're standing there like reading a scanner and scanning passengers all day long and somebody sends an email and says, tell us five things you did this week or you're fired. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right, like, right. Why are you treating me like that?
I saved an average of 200,000 people per day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
And just the precedent it would set that, okay, I didn't like the contract that was signed by the previous administration. We're just going to rip it up.
Yeah. That's, you know, the idea of what a contract
allowed,
is.
Yeah.
that's what they like said. That. They literally said, we think that contract is inefficient. And we think there are efficiencies to be had and blah, 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 blah. Therefore, we're going to rip up your contract.
You can't retroactively rip up a contract. It's once a contract's signed, it's a contract.
You would think so.
Yeah.
And look, what they did, if you remember in Wisconsin, right, in Act 10, they said, okay, no more collective bargaining agreements in the future. So people locked in collective bargaining agreements that would run out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And then after those expired, then, you know, they lost their rights, whatever.
They did that in Indiana too, I think. Yeah. They had some unions did like 10-year contracts.
Sure.
So not even Scott Walker ripped up contracts?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with now.
Wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, these like we said earlier, these government employees are, I think, the tip of the iceberg. Right. If they can gut their unions, then, you know, police and fire, teachers, public, they're all next. You know, they tried it with Janus, didn't really work.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like outlaw public employee unionizing. And from there, it just goes down to us. Right?
Well, it's one of those things like nobody stood up for these folks. Then nobody stood up for these folks. Now, why won't anyone stand up for me?
There's nobody left.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Again,
so
this was all laid out. This was all the plan of Russell Voigt. Is that how you say his last name?
Voigt.
Yeah, Voigt.
The 2025.
Yeah, the architect.
By the way, he didn't make that stuff up. This is taken from the dictator playbook, right? Yeah. I think like if you Googled how to become a dictator, it's like, okay, here's what we do. You know, what do they call shock and awe? We do all this stuff, and like you said,
and the media reporting that this is bad, they're all fake.
Yes.
Yeah, they're bad. And then you know what else I read. And I'm a tiny bit off topic, but Times v. Sullivan, which protects journalists from defamation lawsuits,
libel cases,
et cetera, they're trying to overturn that.
I heard that,
right? Yeah. So imagine that now.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, like newspapers are going, oh, maybe we should report on that.
Because there has to be intent, right, in order for it to be defamatory when it involves a public
intentional
person.
Intentional negligence or disregard for the blah, 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 whatever that. You know what an ultimate defense to defamation is?
Truth.
Absolutely.
Set you free.
Right? I don't know how we got on this.
We're
topic,
winded but, down for the week.
Yeah.
But we do, before we leave, we've got a couple.
Oh,
yeah. We have two listeners of the week.
Let's hear them.
So first up is Al Cacciatola. He is just a huge fan of the show. He lives down in the Garfield Ridge neighborhood. And he was out at the parade yesterday and talked about how much he loved the...
That's cool.
I know Al. Great guy.
Yeah,
thanks, Al.
Best. Thank you, Al.
Way to go, Al.
Phil,
and
you've got one.
And also Gwen Carlson, a retired Chicago public schools teacher, big listener of the show, listens every week.
Awesome.
Shout out to Gwen.
Shout out to Gwen. All right, thanks. Listen, we'll be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.